If you would stand and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verses 16 through 22 for our sermon text this morning. John 16, 16 through 22. And I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you give us a message of hope and joy, because we are in the midst of sorrow in this world. And so we ask that you would comfort our hearts this morning by your Holy Spirit's work in us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, with it being Mother's Day and with all the things that I see here in this text, it's been running through my mind what I heard as a prayer request and an update this week at our Bible study from Pat, our beloved pianist from St. Paul's, who we've connected with so much here too, and praying for her son AJ, who has been deployed to Afghanistan. And as I think about Jesus saying goodbye here to his beloved friends, the disciples, and he's going to be saying goodbye to his own mother, I thought about AJ heading over there. And you see, Pat mentioned this week that she had received a letter from AJ's wife that AJ had written before he left for Afghanistan. And this is already a tough thing for a mother to have her son go to a dangerous area of the world and to do work that's right in the thick of all the violence. And now she has this letter, and she didn't even really know what it was at first. But in this letter, AJ says, "You know, Mom, I just wanted to write to you in case I don't make it back from this." And you can imagine the things that he said to her in there, memories that he shared with her and telling her that he loved her. You know, it's hard to say goodbye. And sometimes we don't know what the future holds. And this world is so full of sorrows and hurts. And that's what was running through the minds, too, of the disciples, fear and anxiety, as they heard Jesus saying, "In a little while you won't see me." And they're wondering, how long is this going to be? What does he really mean by all of this? But saying goodbye is hard. Maybe you can think of times you've had to say goodbye to someone when it was really hard. As little kids, you know, it's hard to watch your mom or your dad go somewhere, and you might even cling to their leg. Maybe you've had a hard time when loved ones are even out of town. I know when my wife and kids are out of town, I'm a mess. I can't sleep, and I don't know what to do with myself. And yet there are even more painful ones. Like, what do we do when one of our loved ones goes into danger, like AJ, or when they even are facing death? I remember the last time that I said goodbye to my grandfather, and knowing that I would never see him again. And I felt like like I was willing to just turn the whole world upside down to stay with him one moment longer. It was so hard to say goodbye. And Jesus' disciples are wondering what this goodbye is all about. But we might also be asking, will this sorrow, will this hardship in saying goodbye and the troubles of this world, will this last forever? You notice that the disciples here are wondering, what does he mean by a little while? How long is Jesus going to be gone? You see, Jesus was just hours from being betrayed and then shortly after that, killed. And he had talked to them about these things, but they still were having a hard time comprehending what was to come. And this was a sad moment, as they had been following this Jesus, had grown to be dear friends of his, but they were also looking for him to lead them. And now he said that he was going to be leaving them. What were they going to do without him? You know, as we think about what happened with Jesus and the pain that they were about to go through with not only having their Jesus turned over to the soldiers and dragged off before them, it was going to get to be even more painful in a short amount of time, but they were also going to have to watch him be killed. Jesus is bracing them for this fact, and he says, "You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." Think about what happened with Jesus. That as the sorrow of the disciples was increasing, so also was the rejoicing of the world as they thought that they defeated this nuisance, Jesus. You know, they thought that he was just a mere man, and when they got rid of him, that he was gone for good. And they were happy about the fact that he would be gone forever. And the disciples were wishing that he had never left to begin with, but were wondering when they might be reunited with him again. You know, we can relate to this too in our world as we think about these struggles that we have with death and violence in our world. Even now in Afghanistan, where AJ is posted, there are wars and attacks going on. Pat got word just to pray right now, recently, and looking in the news, we can see that there was a bombing right near where AJ was. And you know, these were ISIS people attacking even relief workers that were coming to help. And I got to reading an article about these different Christians who are going even into these places where the violence is so harsh, and they're even trying to bring aid to the suffering, even the ISIS families, the wives and children, and anybody who would receive their help as they try to care for these people who are in terrible situations. And even as they try to bring relief and food and support to these ISIS people and their families, they are being attacked by them and turned on them. These people are cursing at them even as they're receiving water and support from them. Think about this kind of sorrow that we have in this world, this suffering. And we might even be asking, Jesus, you said it was going to be a little while. What did you mean by a little while? Look at this world. Look at all of the hurt and pain. Maybe you feel like you've been waiting forever. I mean, the church has been waiting now for almost a couple thousand years for Jesus. What do you mean by a little while, Jesus? This world is so full of sorrows and pains. We keep having to say goodbye to people that we love. We keep having to endure hardship and even the world rejoicing over us as they hate us and reject us. Even as we're called to serve them and love them, they reject Jesus and reject us. Jesus tells them, "But your sorrow will be turned into joy." You know, as they think about this, how could this possibly turn into a good thing? as they think about Jesus dying and being taken away from them and being gone from them and all of their worry, they wonder, how could this be turned into joy? Jesus gives them an illustration to help them out, and I think it's quite appropriate on Mother's Day that we're hearing this illustration. But listen to this again. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. And my wife is pregnant right now with our fourth daughter, and so I've been through this a few times, and I've seen kind of how this goes, and especially the first time you have a child, and you have heard all of the stories about what is to come for you as a pregnant woman, and the anticipation is growing, and I'm watching my wife in fear and anxiety of that day coming. What is that going to be like? Am I even going to survive it? We were planning out our trips of what roads we're going to take to get to the hospital. Oh, don't take that one. It's really bumpy. If I'm in labor, I don't want to go down that road. And thinking about this, and as you get closer and closer to this day when that baby is born, the anxiety and maybe the fear is growing. And certainly, once those labor pains start, the pain starts to really come into your life. You know that it is coming close, and it escalates. It gets worse. The pain gets harder. The sorrow increases. Up until this point, when the baby is born, and at that last moment, it is at its most painful, its most sorrowful, and to the point where you think you're probably going to die when you're going through this. And I think that I can attest that my wife said, I'm not going to survive this in the midst of it, having been there. And yet, right after the worst moment, the hardest moment, you're holding your little baby. And let me tell you, when you're holding that little baby, you don't care what you had to just go through. You're holding a child, a baby, a human being in your arms, one that you love and cherish. And all of the sorrow and all of the pain just melts away, and it's gone. It's an amazing thing, even because women would probably never have another baby again if they were still dwelling on the fact of how painful of an experience that was. But when they look at their child again, and they have this joy in their hearts from this little baby, it gives them such love that they could even imagine doing this again. And that's the illustration that Jesus gives to us to understand this. You see, his disciples were about to watch him be betrayed by Judas and turned over. He was going to be beaten and mocked, spit on, and rejected by the people as they called out for Barabbas, a violent criminal, to be released and instead to punish Jesus. And they would watch him hang there on that tree and be pierced for their transgressions. And they would watch him die and be placed in the tomb. And they would have a lot of sorrows. But you know, when they got to see the resurrected Jesus, all of those sorrows melted away. And they had their joy. They had their resurrected Jesus, their Messiah, right in front of them. And it didn't matter how much they had to endure before that. It's hard to say goodbye. We might think that this sorrow will last forever. But Jesus has this powerful message of hope for us, that joy will come. Joy will come. And this goodbye is more like a see you later. Jesus says in verse 22 here, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." You know, they had certainly been given joy when they saw the resurrected Jesus. Now they knew that he had power over the grave. They had seen him die and now be living again, walking around in the flesh. And they got to touch him, feel him, eat with him, listen to him once again. But when he went back into heaven, when he ascended on high and told them he would come back again for them one day, they had to hold on to this hope, just like we do now, as we wait, wondering how long, Jesus. But he will come back again as he did that first time. And he will give us joy that no one can take away. When we go to heaven, there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more saying goodbye. We will have joy that no one can take away from us. You know, when AJ wrote this letter to Pat, his mom, and he was writing in case he might not make it back, he says, "You know, Mom, if I head to heaven first, I'll meet you when you get there. I'll see you when you get there." And I'm paraphrasing. But what a hope we have. You know, Pat, as she sees her son serving and putting his life in danger, going towards the danger, she doesn't have to fear because he knows the Lord. He's trusting in Jesus and looking forward to his coming again. We can all have that same hope that we will, in the end, be united with Jesus if we trust in him. And we will see all of our loved ones that are also trusting in him, and we do not need to fear death. We can go through the sorrows of this life, even to the point that they escalate and end in our death, and yet go forward without fear, knowing that we have a joy that no one can take away from us. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we think about how hard it is to say goodbye in this world and thinking about what it must have been like for the disciples to say goodbye to you, trying to understand what the future would hold for them, as we think about the fears and anxieties and worries that we might have of our future and the sorrows that we struggle with here every day, Lord, I pray that we would take courage. Lord, that you are coming back and that we will see you again, and that you are coming with joy to give to us that no one can take away. And that joy is even ours now, even though we don't fully yet experience it. We look forward to that day when all of the joy that we have will be fully realized. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.